With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So glad you're with us, everybody. Coming your way in 20 minutes this morning here on the show. We are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, Bobby Bonilla's famous contract with the buyout clause addendum added just was auctioned off. We will tell you how much it fetched and debate whether that's a cool item to own or completely lame with the price you'd have to pay. You can always hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and on the free Odyssey app as well. But you can also watch us, and you'll want to watch us because we've got a guest coming up on the simulcast. Watch us on Twitch. Watch us on YouTube and watch us at watchda.com. It's time to talk some Hokies football.
The DA Show counts down the days until the electricity of college football season returns with the game's greatest voices.
Morris is going to score! Morris is going to score! Morris is going to score!
Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown! Dogs win it! We're headed to Atlanta!
He did it! He did it! Flutie did it!
Oh, the band is out on the field! The band has won! Oh, my God!
It's the sounds of Saturday, every morning on CBS Sports Radio.
And what's really cool is our next guest was the voice of Virginia Tech football for 27 years and now is back in that role after a Hall of Fame career. He's been an 11-time Virginia Sportscaster of the Year. He's a Virginia Sports Hall of Famer. And he's now rightfully the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies football team. Once again, the great Bill Roth. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready for football? It starts this week. This is actually week zero for college football, so we finally have games this week. And hearing that CBS college football music, man, I'm ready to go.
It's right here. Did you say we have games this week?
We do. We do. Next week is officially week one, but there's a bunch of games this week. So get ready.
What date is it? It's August the 8th, Bill.
We got games. We got games coming up. No, we got games next week. They get to start early. Vanderbilt at Hawaii is one of the early kickoff games. I know you're getting ready for that one in Honolulu.
So camps are opening up.
No, we've got games. Yeah, camps are this week. Yeah, camps we got are scrimmages opening up. This week. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have scrimmages this week, we have camps this week, and we're getting ready to play.
Virginia Tech has been at the top of the Big East of the ACC, but recently they're trying to reboot as well, and now are coming off a tough season because there was some wind last year. They led off the season with that big victory over number 10 UNC, a really good high point for the season, but then there were some bad losses along the way as well, including in the bowl game in the Pinstripe Bowl, 54-10 to Maryland. And so kind of a new vibe, a new feeling in Blacksburg going into 2022. Do they want to use stuff from last year to build upon or just start fresh all over the place this season?
Well, it's the new era. Brent Pry is the new head football coach. He comes to Tech from Penn State, where he was the longtime defensive coordinator for the Nittany Lions there. And actually before that, an assistant coach with Coach Franklin at Vanderbilt as well. So it's a brand new era for Virginia Tech. They've got to get back to the level of play, the level of success that they had before. Tech, you mentioned it, they've had, you know, DA three of the last four seasons. Virginia Tech's had a losing record. And that's not what that constituency and that fan base is used to. And it's a new era of college football, right? We seemingly say that every year, every August at this time. This year, though, man, there has been so much that has happened since the national championship game. Coaches have left. Stunning moves. Coaches leaving programs like Notre Dame and Oklahoma. New NIL deals. SC and UCLA bolting the Pac-12. A lot has happened since we've had the ball in the air. And change is inevitable. I just think we've had like 10 years. We've had a decade worth of college football evolution in like 6 months.
No kidding. And it was so weird with Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech, because when he got the job, he seemed like this really bright, young, highly considered coach who was ready for the next step. And it started out really well, and it looked like it was working. And then kind of it deteriorated year after year after year. And so what do you think happened by the end where they really needed a fresh start and now with Brent Pry in place?
I think every aspect of the program struggled, whether it was recruiting, whether it was clearly winning and losing. And as you know, in the business of athletics, things like ticket sales and donations and the general vibe and direction of the program, the administration clearly felt the time was ready for a change. And so it paid a very hefty buyout for Coach Fuente. And then the question was, well, who do you bring in? And they found a guy who had started his coaching career under Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech as a graduate assistant. And that was Brent Pry, who went to a high school in Lexington, Virginia, which is about 90 minutes away from Virginia Tech's campus, and had stayed in touch with a lot of the folks at Tech. And that was Coach Pry. And he brings every quality that the administration wanted. He's a defensive guy. You know, Fuente came to Tech from Memphis. He was more of an offensive coach. He had been an offensive coach there or at TCU and kind of had the reputation of being an elite play caller and a quarterback developer. Pry's a defensive guy. And so we'll see what Virginia Tech looks like this year. My sense, after we haven't had a scrimmage yet, but my sense is Virginia Tech is going to look an awful lot like it did during the Beamer era. And more specifically, they're going to look a lot like Penn State, because that's where Pry's coming from.
Hmm. Bill Roth joins us, voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, and new start for the Hokies this year under head coach Brent Pry. As you said, the shoes are enormous to fill after Beamer ball and those decades of success in building it from an independent to a Big East and ACC powerhouse. So how do you think that this version of Virginia Tech is going to look like Penn State? What are the things that you could see them reflecting from the Nittany Lions?
I think the culture of the program will be very similar to what they do at Penn State and what Franklin did there previously at Vanderbilt. I think a focus on running the football. Virginia Tech hired, I'll say this, you know, I'm the broadcaster for the team, so probably prone to some hyperbole. They've assembled an elite coaching staff. I think they went out and they hired the top offensive line coach in all of college football away from a program that built itself on its offensive line, and that's Wisconsin. And Joe Rudolph is Virginia Tech's new offensive line coach. They're going to get back to some old-fashioned smash-mouth football. And that worked at Virginia Tech for a lot of years. So I think, number one, that'll be the big thing. That's kind of way Penn State plays. And secondly, in the recruiting game, I did Penn State's bowl game. I broadcast their game against Arkansas. And in my preparation, the starting defensive end is from Virginia. The defensive tackle's from Virginia. Their Sam linebacker's from Virginia. And their top safety is from Virginia. And so I asked Brent Pry, I said, who recruited all those Virginia kids to Penn State? And he said, well, I did. I said, well, you know, they'd look a lot better in maroon and orange than they do in blue and white. And so I think there'll be more of a focus on in-state recruiting, and the prize hit the ground running on that as well. So those are the two biggest things I think that will look differently. I mean, there's some stuff on the edges too, that, you know, dealing with fans and going to booster club meetings and speaking at every Rotary club in the Commonwealth of Virginia that he'll do as well. But, you know, I think it's really interesting. Whenever you hire a coach, there's new coaches in the ACC. UVA has a new head coach. Miami has a new coach. You know how it is. You follow our alma mater, Syracuse, intimately. You know what happens if you hire the wrong guy, right? It can take a while to steer that cruise ship back in the right direction if you have a misfire at that head coaching position.
Totally. And I think you guys at Virginia Tech are dealing with that right now and wanting Justin Fuente to work. He was the ACC Coach of the Year early in his tenure, and then it kind of eroded year after year after year. And you want to give it a chance to take, because Virginia Tech's not in the market for buyouts and racing through coaches every 3 or 4 years. But if you don't hit it, it really puts you behind the eight ball. You know, you just mentioned the ACC realignment a couple of minutes ago, and they haven't made any changes yet, because the SEC and the Big Ten have done that the last two off seasons. But what do you think is the future of the ACC with all these moving parts? You think it's steady because they have a TV contract in place for the next 15 years?
Yeah, they have a grant of rights arrangement with ESPN that no one has challenged yet. And the boilerplate of those, not that I'm an attorney, but if Texas and Oklahoma didn't challenge basically the same thing, and you would feel would be a friendly legal environment in Texas or in Oklahoma for those two schools. I don't know that any school in the ACC would challenge the grant of rights, which goes for another 13 years. The bottom line is this: other than Clemson, nobody's won at the highest level. Wake Forest has had some really good seasons. Pitt has won two of the last three coastal championships and won the league overall last year. But Miami hasn't won a big football game, a big non-conference football game, seemingly forever. Florida State hasn't won a big non-conference football game, seemingly forever. And the same for Virginia Tech. In fact, here's a stat for you, D.A., chew on this. Miami, Virginia Tech, Florida State, their last 12 non-conference games against Power 5 teams, 0-12.
Ooh.
That can't happen. Ooh. That can't happen. Those three teams have to beat somebody, right? You can't lose them all. And so other than Clemson, no one has played in a playoff game since Florida State won the national championship. And I think that Miami feels really excited about Coach Cristobal. I think they've made a big offensive coordinator hire too, getting Josh Gattis from Michigan. So I think Miami has invested in its coaching staff. It's invested in its players, but it's invested in building its program back. And I did Florida State's spring game. I think they feel really good with they have their talent wise. Florida State's got some players, man. They're not that far away. And so now for Virginia Tech, they're a lap behind FSU. That's a couple of years into this rebuild. It's time for them to get back to where they were, and that is winning some big non-conference games, being in the playoff hunt, being in these primetime games on TV, and that's going to come. Yeah, you know it. You've been there. Virginia Tech brings great theater to college football. The entrance, the Enter Sandman, yep. The avid fan base. It means a lot. It's one of the great things to watch on TV. It's one of the great things to watch in person. And for a quarter century, they won most of their games. It's just been the last couple of years where they've slipped.
The ACC needs Miami, Florida State, and Virginia Tech to be back to being good. They need that for somebody to be able to lock horns with Clemson annually and feel like it's a big deal. You know, before I let you go, as a noted churro enthusiast, where is the best churro? Where can I track down the best churro Bill Roth has ever eaten?
You know, actually, this summer I went to Madrid, D.A., and on a quest to find the best churro. And we found this little mountain villa in the Andalusia region of Spain. a beautiful vista, Sierra La Puerta. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Uh-huh.
And there's a place on Los Olas Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale that has great churros, Taco Craft, the ultimate blend of the cinnamon. In Spain, you dip it in like chocolate syrup.
Ooh,
and it's not served,
really?
But it's not served hot.
The churro's not hot or the chocolate's not hot?
The chocolate is hot. The churro is not.
Interesting. So a warm churro is an American angle on it?
I think, well, it might be... Again, this could be a Mexican thing. Because if you've been to Mexico, the churro is hot.
Wow, yeah, it's a great point.
And Espanol es frío. And but I'm a, if anyone has a suggestion, let me know. I'll meet anywhere for a churro. You can't have a churro and be in a bad mood.
No, that's a good point. That's a really good point. It is very tough to eat something that's kind of long and sugary and delicious and still be angry. You know, it just doesn't work. You can't like wave a churro at somebody and scream at them. You immediately are in a good mood.
Yeah, I think it's the way the Mexican way of, you know, get it right out of the fryer, get the cinnamon, get the sugar. I did. A friend of mine took me to this place. They had the churro ice cream sandwich.
Ooh.
So imagine, if you will, it just melted everywhere. I mean, it just was a bowl of melted ice cream and cinnamon. But it didn't work. But
it was delicious.
There's a future there. Yeah, it was worth all 2,300 calories.
Bill Roth is an 11-time Virginia Sportscaster of the Year, a member of the Virginia Sportscasting Hall of Fame. He's the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, and you can also watch him and listen to him via ESPN and ESPN properties and platforms as well during college football season. It is here. We love it, and we love talking to him. Bill, it's always great to talk to you, man. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll catch up soon, and glad that we can catch up on churros today.
You're invited to Virginia Tech. Come on down. We need you jumping up and down to some Metallica.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love a little Lane Stadium this fall. Let's get it done.
Bring Nomad down. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. That's the great Bill Roth joining us this morning on the show. Thank you, Bill. Excellent stuff as always. Mraz, where do you sit on churros?
Well, I don't sit on them, D.A. I eat them. I love a churro. To me, churros define theme parks. Like, if you're at a theme park, that's one of those checklists. Roller coaster, log flume, churro.
Yeah.
I am very interested in a colder churro dipped in warm chocolate sauce, though. I feel like that is taking curry and clay and adding Durant to it. You've already won a championship. How do I get more? And I love that.
Yeah, I could see me really getting down with a little churro and hot chocolate sauce.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just so perfect.
And it kind of feels like a breakfast in some way. It's kind of bready and fried and cinnamony.
Yeah, I mean, you really could play that game with most desserts, but you're right. And it's also not the heaviest thing in the world. I want that flaky, cinnamony, you know what I mean? That the ridges. My tongue loves those ridges on a churro. It's just like... You get a little cut like you do with Sour Patch Kids on the side of your tongue. It's just, oh, yeah.
You know, they sell churros on the subway platforms quite a bit. There's usually women down on the subway platforms. I always think about, and I've had them once or twice, I always think about, should I do this more often?
Yeah, there was a woman selling them on the Cross Bronx Expressway a couple weeks ago, and she was holding it up like the Statue of Liberty. Come get your churro here. But I don't know. I don't know if that's a trustworthy churro.
Yeah, you know, I think... You're underground. There's roaring train cars. It reeks of bodily fluids around there. It's kind of smoky and dark. And so the last thing you're kind of feeling is like, let me buy food on the platform. You know, when I see the women with the papaya slices, I'm not here.
I've seen people eat full-blown Chipotle bowls on the subway. I feel like that's like, it's like eating in the bathroom. You don't do it.
And you're not supposed to either. There are signs on the subway that say no eating on the subway. Now, people do it. But...
Yeah, because they clean them once every 3 weeks, so they don't have to get back in there.
All right, when we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My man DA, that's how you do it. You hammer that show and then you hammer that town. I'm proud of you.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio around the house, around the offices. Get your day ready. Have us on as you get prepared for your day. Weird situation over the weekend with Pete Rose. Things always tend to be kind of weird with Pete Rose. Pete was going to be honored by the Philadelphia Phillies back in 2017. He was a member of the Phillies for five seasons, including the 1980 World Series Championship, which was the Phillies' first championship in like a century when they won it in 1980. That was the Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, great teams, late 70s, early 80s with the Phillies. Well, right around that time, an unnamed woman, a Jane Doe, said that when she was just a teen, like 14 or 15 years old, back in the day, I guess this goes back to the early 70s, she was around the Cincinnati area. Pete met up with her for sexual relations. So, of course, at the time he was a professional ball player. She was in her mid-teens. And this came to light. And the Phillies said, hey, you know what? We're going to stay away from Pete Rose here. Then they were going to honor the 1980 World Series champs 2 years ago during 2020 for the 40th anniversary. That was pandemic year. That got delayed. Last year they didn't do it. That got delayed. So they finally had the 1980 team honored this past weekend. So they finally said yes to Pete Rose. And the reason was they had to go to Major League Baseball's offices, league office, and say, he's banned from baseball, but is he allowed? Can we have a pass for this weekend? Can he get a hall pass? And baseball said yes. And they also went around the locker room, the clubhouse, and asked all of those guys, would you want Pete here? Because Pete brings with him a lot of distractions and baggage, and Pete's Pete. And they all said, yes, we want Pete here. If we're going to honor the 1980 team, we want Pete here. So the Phillies finally relented. They want to do right by these guys that had played with him. The league office said it's okay as well. And so it should have been, at 81 years old, one of these rare moments of forgiveness, of tying up a loose end. I mean, Pete's career, if he does not get to the Baseball Hall of Fame before he passes, is always going to feel really weird and tortured in some ways. Even if he does get in, which I don't think is going to happen before he passes, it's going to always have hung over his entire life. So this should have been one of those rare feel-good chapter-closed moments. And Pete is asked about his relationship with the teenage girl from the 70s. And, you know, if you were going to be able to navigate this, and you're Pete Rose, you could have said something like, you know what, really not the time or the place. I want to be sensitive to everybody. This is really about the baseball. You could say something like, I don't want to take attention away from my teammates. This is kind of not the time, but, you know, obviously I'm sensitive to all parties here. Something along these lines. And Pete Rose is Pete Rose. And Pete Rose really can't do that. Pete Rose is Pete Rose. And Pete says to a female baseball writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, man, that was 55 years ago, babe. Yeah, so not the best. He then is asked about it again in a follow-up with a male reporter, I believe. And he says, who cares what happened 50 years ago? You weren't even born. You shouldn't be talking about it because you weren't born. If you don't know a damn thing about it, don't talk about it. Okay, again, really not the best way to show any type of contrition. After this happens, Pete apparently realizes it had come off really poorly. And maybe internally he's got some contrition. Maybe he realizes he was being a bit of a pig head there. Maybe he's told by a PR person. Maybe he's told by the Phillies, hey, man, you got to make this right. Like, that's the wrong way to address what happened. And he goes back to the female reporter and apologizes if he offended her, offered to sign 1,000 baseballs for forgiveness, and then says, I'm sorry. Which, again, is like, signing 1,000 baseballs is not like the way you make up for making a significant mistake. But this is kind of the life that he leads. This is his commerce. You know, it's like, yeah, I might have made a mistake betting on baseball, but I can sign 1,000 baseballs for fans and I'm kind of welcome back, right? That'll make it right. So Pete, this is going to be Pete Rose. This is just going to be Pete Rose. And it's like if you were to write what Pete Rose's response would be to this, it would be, man, that was 55 years ago, babe. And just like talk to the hand and keep walking. So it's just a reminder that for all of us that believe Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, including myself, because you cannot erase those types of accomplishments, and they were not done under the guise of steroids, PEDs. He's just the greatest hitter in the history of Major League Baseball. You kind of have to put him in the Hall of Fame, but you obviously say the man was banned from the game. He was not allowed to manage this, that, and the other thing. Bet on the game. This is why, in defense of baseball, it's so impossible for them to allow him back into the game, to put him in the Hall of Fame, because they can't trust him. And that's been the bit now for 30 years, right? He was banned in 1989. We're talking about 33 years of this. Did he do it? Did he not do it? Is he admitting to doing it? Is he not admitting to it? Does he know he did something wrong? Does he not do... When's he going to lie? When's he just going to say something to make money? When's he going to say something that's just looks really bad? They don't trust him in any of these spaces. And this is a good example of that. And not for nothing, I wonder if they knew there were things like this in his background when they banned him from baseball. And we all thought, well, come on, it's just betting on baseball. And they were like, yeah, we don't need any of these skeletons to come out of the closet. So we're not going to go down that road. You know, is there a point to this is 50 years ago, I'm almost dead, what are you going to do about this? Perhaps. I mean, perhaps that's part of it. But there's also just a part of it that is, you know, you just need to know how to navigate that a little bit better. And Bogues, I really think that there's just an element where everybody in baseball is scared to have him anywhere around because just stuff like this happens. And then your whole weekend of feeling good about things, the headline is Pete Rose calls a female reporter babe and tells her forget about the potential sexual misconduct of sleeping with a 15-year-old 50 years ago.
Right, because he's a bad guy. Like, that's the bottom line here. He's just a bad dude. And this is that. And whether or not he could ever fix that, he cares to fix that, it doesn't matter. He's a bad dude. This is always going to be a thing for him. I hate that he sits outside the Hall of Fame and signs things. And, you know, that I'll sign 100 balls, like, to me is the confirmation of just how distorted he is. Like, he thinks that's what he is. Like, that's his currency, like you said. And that's all he's got is, oh, I'll just sign balls, I'm going to be fine. Because we've allowed him to kind of do that for a long time here. I've got no sympathy for him. He does not need to be in the Hall of Fame. And this is exactly why. He's just a bad guy. He's bad for baseball. He should just be out of the conversation.
Do you think it's right that they brought him to Philly for this?
No, it's all their fault. It's all of their fault. At some point, someone around has got to be an adult. And the players that he played with are a compromised group. They love him because he won games and he got hits for them, and that's what always happens. Whoever has done anything wrong gets forgiveness because they're good. So the players saying Pete's got to be here is not at all surprising, but someone above them has got to be like, guys, we just can't. And now this should be sent back to all of them and go, from now on, guys, don't mention Pete's name. Pete's out.
Well, can they not bring him back because of this potential situation, the woman from many years ago when she was a teenager, or can they not bring him back because of the betting on baseball?
Well, they can't bring him back because whenever he comes back, he's going to embarrass you. He just can't help himself because he's not a good guy. So this, something like this is always going to happen, whether it's doubling down on a previous thing or a completely new thing, because I think he went on TV yesterday during the game and cursed like 4 times in 8 minutes. So like he just, it's not worth, what's the thing? The juice is not worth the squeeze. It's just not worth it. You can mention him. He can be on graphics. If you're giving out T-shirts or whatever, put his name. Obviously, you know, he was on those teams. He doesn't need to be there. He doesn't need to be celebrated either. I was watching that game randomly yesterday. There was like an hour-long sit-down interview on one of the Philly stations yesterday. You don't need that either. Like, he doesn't need to have a venue for talking about anything or asking for forgiveness or pleading his case. He just needs to be left alone and left out.
It's interesting because I felt opposite. I felt like, boy, what he accomplished on the field with the Phillies is he was part of a World Series champion, and they're going to honor the World Series champions, and so he should be allowed to be around them if they want him around. And if Mike Schmidt and Steve Carlton and all those guys, Larry Boa, they say, yeah, we want Pete around. He's deserving of this. I was like, why would you keep him away from that? You're not putting him in the Hall of Fame, okay, banned from baseball, but if the guys want him around it, it's a tip of the cap and a roar from the crowd. But I think you make a fair point. The juice isn't worth the squeeze because you want to do something right by everybody, including Pete. But when you do something right by Pete, it can blow up in your face, and this did.
You can also have him there and do everything in your power to keep him away from a microphone. but I'm serious. That's like, true. He doesn't need to be on, I don't remember the channel. He doesn't need to be on an hour-long sit-down interview with the main sports anchor guy on the local news. He doesn't need to be on the broadcast with the other guys where he can act like an ass. And you could say, Pete, there's no Pete media availability. You could bring him in, put him on the field, take him right out of the building. But he's going to eventually find a microphone and probably say something dumb. But at least at that point, like, you've done your part in not setting it up. Don't put him in front of cameras. Don't put him in sit-down interviews. And don't put him on a live mic during your broadcast.
I think that's fair. I do think that. I think that's, if you're going to try to do this well, you let him be part of it. You let him tip the hat to the crowd. You let the crowd feel like they're giving him the love. You let the team feel like he's part of the family. But you just keep him away from associating you with any of the things that he might say.
And I'm sure they had dinners or whatever. Like, it was a whole weekend thing. I'm sure there was a big party somewhere. He can be at that because no one's paying it. Like, no one's recording it. It's not live anywhere. They can all sit around. He can tell all these stories. They can all laugh and have fun. That's fine because that's them and that's their choice. But why you'd give him multiple chances to make all of you look terrible for having him there is beyond me. Like, who's surprised this morning by any of this?
No, like I said, if you were to craft the thing that he would say in response, he would dismiss it and call a female reporter babe.
Right. Or toots. Something along those lines. I mean, it's exactly. It's a script. And it was guaranteed to happen. And he was only telling a story on the broadcast about something, but he called it like a Bo Jackson high fastball. He used a curse word instead of Bo Jackson. And I knocked the you-know-what out of it. He's not an adult in the simplest ways and in the most serious ways. And I got no time for him.
AB has headlines.
DA, it was your cold open. Browns running back Kareem Hunt back at team drills at training camp yesterday after the team reportedly turned down Hunt's reported trade requests. Before Hunt went back on the field, head coach Kevin Stefanski was asked about his convos with the unhappy running back.
I'm not going to get into really anything that has to do with our players and conversations I have with our players.
Stefanski also would not confirm that Hunt is getting fined for skipping those team drills Friday and Saturday. Oklahoma football assistant Cale Gundy, the longest tenured coach in the Big 12, resigning over the weekend. Gundy says he read aloud an offensive word off a player's iPad during a team meeting recently. It was an honest mistake, he says, but still something he should never say, so he is leaving a job he has had since 1999. The Padres have Juan Soto, but the Dodgers have Freddie Freeman.
It's a 1-2 to Freeman. Ground ball, base hit into right field. So what else is new? Turner's coming around to score easily. Freeman with another RBI, his second of the day, and the Dodgers with a 4-0 lead.
Charlie Steiner, Dodgers radio. Freeman, a pair of RBI singles. Cody Bellinger, a pair of solo home runs, and a 4-0 win over Soto and the Padres. That's a 3-game sweep for the Dodgers. They outscore San Diego 24 for the weekend. LA now has a 15.5 game lead in the NL West. Mm. It's a good thing the Yankees clinched the AL East back in May.
DeFrost with the pitch. DeYoung bluffs a move. There's a high fly ball. That's hit deep left field, and it's a gunner. Paul DeYoung with a 3-run homer with 2 outs in the 8th inning. And what a series he has had against the Yankees.
John Rooney, Cardinals radio. That homer, 4 RBI for Paul DeYoung in a 12-9 St. Louis win yesterday afternoon. The Cards get a 3-game sweep. They've won 7 in a row. The Yankees on a season-high 5-game skid. And Kevin Harvick won the NASCAR Cup race at Michigan yesterday, which makes some postseason confusion a little more likely. Harvick is the 15th different winner this season, with 3 races left in the regular year. If 2 more first-timers get a win, there'd be too many winners for guaranteed spots in the playoffs, so one would lose out via tiebreaker. And now, we're done.
Woo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Huh? He was called the Brazilian Hulk.
Oh.
Valdir Segado had 23-inch biceps.
Whoa!
And bigger moves than Sean because of his workouts and because he injected oil into his veins as a performance enhancer.
God.
We are learning of him because Segado died recently on his 55th birthday, apparently, after years of warnings of many serious side effects for injecting oil into your body. He had 1.7 million TikTok followers, but apparently led a life of isolation, had few actual friends. So, like, to me, the moral of this story is, this guy needed help, like, on a number of fronts, and we find out too late because of his passing.
Waka waka!
No.
How many times are you going to read a death story, Bogues? How many times does somebody have to die?
Until you guys learn how to handle it. This is a public service announcement. If you think that you need to have 23-inch biceps and 32 double D boobs and you're putting foreign substances in your body, give us a call and we'll help you.
Look, he definitely killed himself, in essence, and he definitely was a moron. But the man still passed away here. Let's say a little bit.
Well, AB is kind of doing that by saying he led a life of isolation. And
I mean, the weightlifting, it's all cries for help. We got to pay attention.
I say it every time I go to the gym. It's a big cry for help when I go.
I mean, you're the...
Yeah. And I put oil into my body all the time. You should see the way I fry those chicken cutlets.
Yeah, and you don't believe in six-packs. You think six-packs are too much.
Exactly.
So you know how to stay away from this danger.
Yeah, usually it's your organs that are crying for help.
Yeah.
And your shirts.
I mean, it is true. When you see these crazy bodybuilders... And the people on Instagram that have the massive
everything. But they almost can't function because you can't lift your arms or anything like that.
They're living a very sad life.
Yeah.
That is a terribly sad, insecure life. Clearly, they were like the weakling. They were skinny. They were bullied.
Yeah.
They felt not handsome or beautiful, and now they're overdoing it. It is the male version of the woman that has so much plastic surgery, it's now scary. Yeah, it's not attractive.
I was going to say it's the less healthy version of the person who has the pickup truck with the big giant tires. Like, okay, we get it. You need a little attention. You're going to be okay. Come talk to us.
Or like the guy in his 50s with a Ferrari top down.
Yeah.
And
the Hawaiian shirt.
Right.
Tight jeans. Old guys with tight jeans. Stonewashed rips.
Describe me, Hawaiian shirt, tight jeans.
They're tied for different reasons, though.
Yeah, this guy's injecting oil into his biceps. What do you think that does to your internal organs?
Well, how does it give you muscles? What's that science?
My guess is it's not like canola. My guess is it's some type of...
Motor.
Castor oil?
Motor.
That's the way I was picturing, like black, dark motor oil.
Yeah.
And it, like, pumps up your arm.
Yeah, is that what you're thinking?
Well, you said it's not canola. What's the other oil, Gene? Is it cooking oil or motor oil?
The fact that you think those are the only two oils.
Olive? You think he's putting olive oil in there? He's dipping his bread?
I think there's probably some type of tincture that has PEDs in it, whatever that is, whatever the bioscience
is. A little hemp oil that gets rubbed in?
Whatever that Barry Bonds flaxseed cream and clear type thing is that enhances muscle building, enhances muscle, whatever that whole thing is. It's not an actual oil that you would cook with nor run your car with. It's just some type of tincture that you inject into yourself. Right. They call it oil.
That's fine. Then that headline is extremely misleading because I thought he was pumping, you know, FD40, FW1.
Right. So you think he went to Jiffy Lube. Don't ask me again while I present these stories because this is where we end up. It might begin with death, but you got to start
a Monday with a death. That's the only thing. I mean, we could have got...
And it ends with you getting an oil change to Jiffy Lube.
There were no cat-stopping robberies today. We had to go death.
Wow, he was warned he would deal with face amputation, nerve damage, and muscle disfigurement if you continue to inject your muscles with this stuff.
How do you amputate a face?
And
it's on your head.
He kept doing it. Someone's got to step in.
Or do you just let somebody that's like this...
die?
Yeah, like, can you save them from themselves? Like, are they just so far gone, it's not up to you to babysit them?
Yes, I say you let him croak.
And I'm the mean one.
No, but like you, there's only so much you could do. Like when you do that, what do you say, stop?
It was synthol, and it was a mixture of oil, benzyl, alcohol, and lidocaine. Okay, so I guess lidocaine is...
pain, right? Doesn't
it's
that
a pain, but there must be some type of muscle.
That sounds like meth for muscles.
Oh, boy. The Brazilian Hulk's friend, Fernando, says, look, that's the risk he took. He wants to look good. He wanted to be famous. That's it. Even Fernando was like, you can't help this dude.
Well, but Fernando sounds like a guy who was a friend by default.
I think Fernando's doing a muscle journal.
What, Fernando is getting free tickets to go see the Brazil national team?
I'm saying this guy didn't have any friends, so like when he listed his friends and they went for contacts, like, I got to speak for the Hulk again.
Oh, I'm the friend?
Yeah.
I'm the Hulk's friend? When did I become the Hulk's friend? It's like when you put down like a contact, emergency contact before you're married or something.
Right.
And you tell your girlfriend, you're like, oh, just so you know, if they call for a reference, she's like, I'm your contact.
Right. Right. When you get invited to a bachelor party for a dude, you thought you were like one of the last invites in.
Okay, when we come back, how much would you pay for the Bobby Bonilla contract as a memento? DA, CBS Sports Radio. I want to snort household cleaners.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's taken out of context. 51 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us on SiriusXM channel 158 as well. Bobby Bonilla's infamous deferred salary agreement is written in a contract and was sold at auction over the weekend. Bidding went from $150K for the document to $180K in the final hours of the auction. Now, you do not only get for $180K Bobby Bo's contract, which pays him, what, $1.2 million every year for, like, perpetuity, 2035, but also you get a 30-minute Zoom meeting with Bonilla and the guy who had owned the contract, a signed baseball and game-used bat from Bobby Bo's personal connection, and a dinner with Bobby Bo, including breakfast, a trip to Citi Field for batting practice, and a game and dinner. Would you pay $180K for Bobby Bo's contract?
No, I would not. I would not. I find that storyline to be brutal every year. I think for a Met fan, I would consider it. I'm not a Met fan.
Even me as a Met fan, I think it's
stupid.
Why do I want that? Why do I want a reminder of a terrible contract situation where we're clowned all the time for it?
And you better have traveled the world before you bought that with $180K.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you better have spent a lot of money, a lot of better places, and
right,
still have $180K rolling around to blow on this. I want to do more about this coming up next hour on the show as well, because the fact that he's got batting practice and a trip to Citi Field suggests that the Mets are in on the whole Bobby Bo contract
thing. Which they shouldn't be in on their own joke.
So that's interesting. So intern Amanda, her final day with us, she's got some lessons learned. What is this hour's lesson learned?
Absolutely. This one is arguably one of the most important ones.
Yeah.
Never, ever do anything stupid because Kaplan's going to be on the camera soon.
You've learned this the hard way.
He is going to be watching and he is going to be recording it.
Have you worried about this during your internship?
All the time. All the time. I'm so worried that someone's going to catch me doing something stupid or like looking ridiculous, like trying to find my notes or something like that. And with Cap just being like the hidden hand behind everything, I'm just terrified at all times.
That's a great lesson. Cap is the guy you have to fear most around here. Usually he's pretty gloves off except for Mraz. But Mraz, he just puts you on Front Street every single day.
And I just own it now. You want to see me eat? Guess what? You're getting all of me eating now.
But I mean, we've seen you smell your belly button, put your fingers in your belly button, smell it, and like be like knocked out by the walk.
Yeah, my armpits, the whole thing. I should be able to live my life without it being Ed TV.
You're the Truman Show.
I am. It's heartbreaking.
When we come back here on the show, we've got comedian Dustin Nickerson in studio. Also, we'll talk about the Niners and Jimmy G, and intern Amanda will have her final lesson learned of the internship next hour. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.